As you all know, today's the last Sunday in November. So next week, when we come together on a Sunday, we will be in the period of Advent. And so that got me thinking about the Advent calendars that we've just given out. Advent, as you all know, is that four-week period leading up to Christmas, when we anticipate and prepare for the coming of the Christ child. When traditionally we look at different aspects of faith, each week, each Sunday, there's a different aspect of faith that we look at, such as hope, peace, joy, and love. And we prepare our hearts to celebrate the fact that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we've just given out those Advent calendars to the children tonight because they typically begin on the 1st of December, which is actually a Saturday. And they mark those 24 days before Christmas. And as I was thinking about Advent calendars, I felt, you know, that God wanted me to talk about doors of opportunity, because the Advent calendars usually have doors, don't they? If you want to put the next slide on, Stephen. So Advent calendars have usually got these doors with the numbers on, haven't they? And you open the door of each day, and usually there's a picture behind it, sometimes a Bible verse, and if you're lucky, you get an Advent calendar, you know, that's got a piece of chocolate in it. Yeah, I think we've got some examples of the different kinds of Advent calendars on the next one. So, you know, you might get the galaxy one where there's a little bit of galaxy chocolate after each door. Or, you know, you get these doors that are sort of, you can put presents inside. Actually, now you can get Advent calendars with all kinds of stuff, can't you? You know, you can have alcohol behind the doors. You can have perfume behind the doors. You can have candles. You can have toys. They even do a Lego Advent calendar where you get a piece of Lego behind each door. And this tradition of Advent calendars goes right back to the mid-19th century. German Protestant Christians used to make chalk marks on doors to count off the days, or they lit candles to count the days leading up to Christmas. And the first Advent calendars were probably printed in the early 1900s. And when we had the Second World War, obviously things like that, you know, production stopped. But after that, you know, Advent calendars started again. And according to the Guinness Book of Records, the world's largest Advent calendar was actually built in 2007 in St Pancras railway station. It measured 232 feet and 11 inches tall, and it was 75 feet and 5 inches wide. And they built it to celebrate the reopening of that station after there'd been a renovation. So, you know, I didn't know that. I think most of us like the idea of Advent calendars, really. There's a sense of anticipation that they bring with them. We like the idea of opening a door and finding something exciting behind that door. But, you know, as I was thinking about the doors on Advent calendars, I felt that God wanted us to look at the subject of open doors, doors of opportunity, as we prepare for Christmas and for the new year and for change. And change is something which, you know, some of us love. Some of us are really positive about the idea of change. We've got some reactions, attitudes to change. And, you know, for some people, change is always thumbs up. You know, they love changing things, changing your hairstyle, your clothes, your furniture, your house layout, even moving houses, lots. You like changing cars. Some people are always up for change. You know, they're excited and enthusiastic about change. And they love the challenges that change bring. You know, and they think it's a sense of opportunity, a sense of freshness. And these people are often, you know, very eager and keen to do things differently. They don't really like routine very much, and perhaps they get impatient when things stay the same. They're often pioneers, visionary people. They're always ready to move on. If they see a door, they want to open it and run through it, even if they've no idea what's behind the door. Some people, and I count myself in this group, find change a lot more difficult to manage. Yeah? They like routine and predictability. They find constant change challenging. Maybe they feel apprehensive about change. They worry about what will happen when things change. The world has a proverb, you know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And people like that, they're a bit like Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh stories, aren't they? They're a bit pessimistic and a bit, you know, I don't know how to cope with change. If they see a door, they want to know what's behind the door before they even think about opening it, let alone going through it. And a lot of people are sort of in the middle. They're kind of so-so about change. So, you know, they're open to the idea of change. Maybe they're excited about some changes, but a bit nervous about big changes. You know, we might hesitate at that open door, but we're not going to rule out going through it. We just need a bit of encouragement, perhaps, and a bit of reassurance to go through it. And our church is at a period of change. Mark and Diane have been key members of this church and leaders of this church, you know, in leadership for many years, will be moving on to new ministries. They'll be going through an open door of opportunity. And it's important that we sort of acknowledge this is a period of change. And every time we come to the end of a year and there's a new year, there's always that sense of, you know, we're preparing for something new. And in this period of Advent in itself is, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas, it's a period of change. But I think, you know, what God is really saying to us is that it's a time of open doors and new doors of opportunity, just like opening those doors on an Advent calendar with anticipation and with hope. And the verses that God really put on my heart for tonight are found in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 to 8. They're very familiar verses, I'm sure, to many of you. Jesus said to John in that great revelation that he had, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." And God is the one, ultimately, who opens and shuts doors. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, it says in Ecclesiastes. And it can be hard for us to understand the seasons. You know, the meteorologists are talking all the time, aren't they, about how seasons are changing and we're having mild winters and sometimes, you know, more rainfall than you'd expect in summer and so on. And, you know, there's that sense of it's not always easy to understand the seasons. And, you know, sometimes we don't always understand the spiritual seasons either. In Ecclesiastes 3, it talks about there's a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to sow and a time to reap, a time to stay and a time to move on. And I think, if we're honest, we often have very mixed feelings about that because things are very rarely 100% good or 100% bad. We find it difficult to know how to react to the seasons. If I asked you what's your favourite season in the year, you'd probably all have a different answer. Some people like summer because it's warmer and you've got light nights and you can be outdoors a lot. Some people quite like it when it's cold and they love the snow of winter and things like that. God's made all the different seasons in their variety. And I really think it's important that we understand that God can use all change for good. In the next slide, I say all change can be used by good, by God, to draw us closer to him and to move us further forward. Even those changes, perhaps, that we wouldn't choose for ourselves. You know, Stephen spoke recently about the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. And I think that's what God's calling his church to do, you know, to go forward, to go onwards and upwards. He's, you know, the God who never stops moving forwards, and he wants us to be the same. Daniel says in Daniel 2:21 that he's the God who changes times and seasons, who deposes kings and raises up others. He's the God who gives understanding of the times to people. We might be confused and uncertain at periods of change, but God isn't. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows all things, Mark spoke this morning on the fact that God chose us before the foundation of the world. You know, God knows all those things. You know, I can't really comprehend how he could possibly choose me before he'd even made the world. But that's what God's word says. God knows all things. His understanding has no limit. And so we can have confidence and hope, even during those seasons like winter, perhaps, when nothing seems to be growing, or during seasons when change is happening perhaps so quickly that we can hardly keep up with it. Because God is sovereign over everything. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. So I think, you know, there are new doors for us all to go through. Each day is a new opportunity for service and for growth. But so often, you know, we just carry on, don't we, in routines without really thinking about it, until something happens that jolts us and makes us realise that God is calling us to something new. You know, perhaps we're made redundant, or perhaps an illness comes and it stops us doing what we've been used to doing. We feel helpless, we feel perhaps hopeless. But at such times, we have to remember, God shuts doors as well as opens them, but he's in charge of every door in our life. Nothing happens to us without God knowing all about it, without God allowing it to happen. Closed doors can lead to new opportunities. In Acts chapter 16, we read about Paul and his companions on their missionary journeys. Verse 6 says, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Well, I think that's quite an interesting account of Paul and his companions, because we don't know how the Holy Spirit stopped them from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We certainly don't know why. We don't know how the Spirit of Jesus stopped them from entering Bithynia. I'm sure they'd got good reasons for wanting to go to those places. They were probably quite confused as to why they couldn't preach the gospel in those places, because they knew that's what God had called them to do, to preach the gospel. But during the night, Paul had this vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him to come to Macedonia and to help them. And that was the sign that they needed to guide and direct them through an open door of opportunity. And I believe, you know, that God can do the same for us, even when doors perhaps seem shut in our faces. You know, it's difficult if that happens to us, especially, you know, if we feel we were doing what God was calling us to do and yet we can't do it anymore. We can become very discouraged and confused and hurt. And we can often become, you know, angry and bitter with God, with other people, because, you know, it's often people who seem to stop us doing things. But ultimately, if God shuts one door, he wants to open another, which will lead us to greater blessing. We've got to be careful not to open the door to sin. In Genesis 4, when we read about Cain and Abel, God says to Cain, sin is always crouching at your door. And we've got to be careful not to open that door to unforgiveness or to bitterness, because bitter roots can grow up and cause trouble. When we don't understand what's happening and we can't see that long-term good that God's working towards, we've got to rest in faith and trust God, leave our confusion and our questions with him, knowing that God is working in all things for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. We can trust God to work things out, even if we have no idea how he can do that, and even if it takes him longer than we'd like him to. And I believe that there are many open doors that God wants to lead us through. He said, see, I placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I don't know what all those doors are. I'm praying that God will make it clear to us which doors he's opened so that we can go through those confidently. You know, we need to be going through the doors that God opens, as with the Advent calendars, to see what God wants to do in us and through us in the days to come. I believe that God has got good plans for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. We know in general terms what God wants us to do, because he's given us his word that tells us he wants us to go and make disciples. That's the general door. He wants us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the general blueprint, the calling of every single one of us here, if we love God. But the how is something that we need to seek God for. Just as Paul said that God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles through his ministry, we need to seek God to open a door of faith to the people that we speak to and help us to walk through those doors of opportunity. As we're praying for opportunities to witness to our families, to our friends, to our neighbours, to our work colleagues, to our acquaintances, we need to be prepared sometimes to turn the handle on the door and be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives us and walk through those doors when his spirit nudges us to do so. You know, maybe we can offer to pray for somebody when they're in distress instead of just listening to them, because God is asking us to do that at that time. Maybe we can take the opportunity to talk about what really matters to us if somebody asks us what kind of weekend we've had. We've got to be willing to walk through those doors of opportunity that God gives us, because we never know where he might be leading us. We don't have to be tentative. If God doesn't want us to walk through that door, he's perfectly capable of closing it. And God knows who we are. To the church in Philadelphia, he said, "I know that you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and not denied my name." We might feel that we've got very little strength. We might feel that we're just a small group of people in Goldthorpe. What can we do that really will make any difference? But I believe, you know, that as we fix our eyes on God, and as we remember that what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open, we can be sure that he's greater than any of our fears, than our insecurities, than our disputes, than anything at all that may come against us. And we can go forward into Advent and into the new year with hope and with peace and with joy and love, because he's with us. And for us to go forward, we've got to be prepared to open the doors of our own hearts, first of all. Later on in that chapter of Revelation 3, Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." The first step to moving forward in God is to let God in. And when we do that for the first time, we're born again. We become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. But these words were spoken to the church, to people who'd already made that decision to let Jesus in. And we can be Christians and we can still be keeping the door of our heart shut to Jesus. We might be afraid to open the door because we know that Jesus wants everything from us. He wants us to surrender our whole lives to him. But it's only as we open that door and say yes to anything that he asks of us that we can be truly happy and fulfilled in life. And secondly, we've got to open the doors of our hearts to each other. Paul said to the Corinthians, "We've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. We've opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children, open wide your hearts also." You know, it's very easy for us to hurt each other. Yeah? None of us is perfect. We're all so different that we can hurt each other even without meaning to. The other day, Esther was at a playgroup and she was climbing into a ball pool and she accidentally kicked a little girl who was just behind her on the face and hurt her. She didn't mean to. She hadn't even seen that there was this little girl there. She was just clambering into the ball pool. But the girl, obviously, was hurt and she was crying. And, you know, I made Esther apologise and, you know, we had to comfort the little girl because that pain was real on her face. And sometimes, you know, we hurt each other. And then we withdraw from each other. Either, you know, because we're afraid. We don't want to get hurt again, and so we sort of step back. But God wants us to open the door to each other. He wants us to have deep relationships with each other. He wants us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. And it's easy to say those words, but it's not easy to do that. But God is calling us to love each other deeply from the heart. Love covers over a multitude of sins. I believe that there are many doors that God will open for us as we move forward in faith and hope and love. I believe that there are many opportunities for us as a church to show God's love to our community, to demonstrate that we love where we live, that we're committed to being with God in the community and for the community. But there will be battles ahead because we're in a spiritual battle. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 16, said that he would stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened for me. And that sounds fantastic, doesn't it? A great door for effective work. But in the same sentence, he says, and there are many who oppose me. You know, there will be open doors for us to go through, but we've got to be prepared for a spiritual battle. And we've got to understand, you know, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against a spiritual enemy who seeks to divide. He seeks to weaken us. We need to come together and to pray and to work and to love and to serve. We've got to put on that full armour of God that he talks about so that when the day of evil comes, we can stand against the devil's schemes. Throughout Advent in particular, I think we need to pray fervently. And I'd like us to pray now at the end of this meeting. I've got some things that I'd like us to pray for, but in that sense, I'm sure there are many other things that you might want to pray for. If you want prayer for healing or anything tonight, please, you know, say so. I think we need to pray fervently for Mark and Diane as they go forth into their new ministries. Okay? I really want us to pray for them. I want us to pray for the open door that we're going through tomorrow into the schools with this pantomime. You know, we've got an opportunity to present the gospel to over 400 primary school children tomorrow in Goldthorpe. And we've got about 120 to 130 coming in the evening to the show here. That's an opportunity. God's opened a door and we want to go through that door and see where it will lead us, what God can do through that. The vision of churches together is to be able to do that kind of thing every year in all the primary schools, in Goldthorpe, Highgate, Bolton-on-Dearne and Thurnscoe, to be able to take God's word into those schools regularly. You know, let's pray for that open door to remain open and for God to do amazing things through his church in our local schools. We've got James's baptism coming up on Saturday, an opportunity, an open door for us to go through. Pray for that baptismal service. Then we've got all our Christmas sort of things that are coming up. We've got the Advent sheep trail and the Christmas sheep celebration on the 15th of December, an opportunity to talk about Christmas with people and the real, you know, reason that we celebrate. We've got our carol service at Cherry Tree Court on the 9th of December. You know, pray that there'll be people from Cherry Tree Court that will come to that, you know, and that again we can give the gospel message there. Our carol service here on the 23rd. But, you know, pray as we give out leaflets and flyers recently, you know, that people will come to these services and that, you know, we'll be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who don't yet know him but who will come to know him. And let's pray for new doors of opportunity next year, in the new year, the future opportunities, things that perhaps we don't even know about or we can't even imagine right now. But God knows. And let's continue to pray for each other, to support each other, to build each other up. You know, Stephen's word on Onward Christian Soldiers has kept coming back to me time and time again. Those lines in that hymn, as we pray, you know, onward Christian soldiers, marching on to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. So let's spend some time, just a few minutes tonight, just praying for these things and anything else that the Lord puts on your heart, because we need to be a people of prayer and a people who are going through open doors.
We're going to pray first of all for Paul. If you want to come and lay hands on him, you do that. He's not just one of us or somebody special that we think is special or whatever.